Röster.
Dagens programledare är Moa, Ryan och Isabel.
Dina röster i vardagen.
Tack så jättemycket allihopa. Välkomna till Lunds Fontänhusets podcast Fontänbubbe. Thank you for joining us today at the Loons Fountain House for the Bubble podcast. My name is Ryan. To my left is Isabel, and to my right is Moa. And today we are going to talk about the Manosphere, sponsored by testosterone. Moa, could you enlighten us and the audience? What is the Manosphere?
Well, the word Manosphere derives from mainly online subculture. And it consists of male like role models who are right-wing or conservative. And it's also not just about ideology, because they also sell products, they sell self-help books and courses, and they have a bunch of podcasts and everything. And this subject is being discussed today because we watched the documentary that Louis Theroux made, called The Manosphere.
Inside the Manosphere? Into
the Manosphere?
Something. Inside, yeah. Or into, or deep inside, or come take a ride, or I don't know. Cool. So we'll have a quick song, and we'll be back with our first topic of the Manosphere. Welcome back, Tabaka. That was New Life Cosmic Collective with Trey Tarzia. I've never heard that song. Now I have. Sorry. I forgot. I'm not supposed to do comedy on stage. This is the podcast. So, Isabel, expanding with the Manosphere and what Moa said last segment, going forward with incels and where does this come from? Where did it evolve from? And what more can you add to the overall umbrella of the Manosphere?
My brain just did, where did it come from? Where did it go? But yeah, okay. So expanding on the Manosphere in general is, we discussed how to define it and ultimately ended up being like, okay, the very, very strict definition might not be super important because this is a trend that's been evolving in society for a while. Like those older of us maybe remember the pickup artists kind of a generation talking about women as objects and how to do the game and so on. And then the incels on the internet, which is, for those who don't know, the involuntary celibate community, as they call themselves, which also basically goes into the idea of like, okay, something isn't working. Oh, well, originally, technically, it was supposed to be a wholesome space where people go in of all genders. And I think, unless I'm confusing it, it was also very many people on the spectrum as well being like, okay, I'm not super understanding social cues. I suck at dating. Is there any advice for me? But then internet did its thing, and eventually it kind of spread out to be what it is today. People being like, okay, these are the things that we do to get women to sleep with us. And on top of that, then we have Andrew Tate and whatnot coming into that as well. When someone realized that they could make money off of that, I would say. So, and what makes Menosphere Menosphere is that it is basically an ideology, but also a product and a business model aimed at young men about what being a man means. And usually it goes not only into like conservatism and right-wing leaning stuff, but also like, okay, buy my course, buy my protein shakes, this and that. And what you should want about this is like, because, you know, there's nothing inherently bad about being a man or even have some kind of traditional values per se if everyone around you wants the same stuff, right? What makes it explicitly toxic is seeing people as objects and products and being like, okay, this woman does not have high value or whatever, so we don't want her. And how you get to high value as a man is like you do all these borderline abusive things and good for you for being a man. It's all very, very strange. So that's my take on it.
Interesting. I like it. So incel stands for involuntary celibacy.
Yep.
So in other words, these are guys who are trying to be in the dating game and they are getting no action, so they're involuntary. They don't want to be celibate.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're just striking out.
And the very, very sad thing about it is like most of them, when they do post pictures and whatnot, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just they're very unlikable people, and that's why women don't like them. But
so
they're not ugly or anything.
You mean on the surface, there's nothing wrong with their picture.
Yeah, exactly.
It's inside.
Yeah, because there's also this whole lingo of like, oh, I'm not a Chad or whatever, right?
Yeah,
so
I've
like
heard
I'm
that.
I'm involuntary celibate because I'm not tall enough, I'm not whatever. Like, no, you're very, very creepy, and that's why. But
involuntary celibacy, I'm sorry, I'm single, I live alone. Tonight, I'm going to be an incel. I mean, like, I don't know if it's a bad thing. Or good. I mean, the behavior, I get this, what we're talking about. Moa, I have a question for you. Right wing, the manosphere, both of you maybe, right wing. What is the left wing? What is the left side? Is there a left side manosphere? Is there a guy who's a, I mean, if we talked Trump earlier today, was Joe Biden the opposite? And could there be a left manosphere guy who's like, vote Democrat and also women are the problem?
One second. I cannot. It's very American of you to think that Joe Biden is leftist. I'm done. Go on.
I was going to say that too.
Oh, sorry.
I think that's a very. From what I've seen, I wouldn't classify Joe Biden as a leftist.
Is he a right guy?
No. He's more like in the middle, maybe. I think.
Who's left?
With American politics. With American politics. You have the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah.
And it's very black or white.
Black or white, yeah.
Yeah, but in Sweden...
That's why I did that.
But in Sweden, we have much more of a variety. So, for example, like Republicans, here in Sweden, they would be classified as Sverigedemokrater, maybe.
Yeah.
And then Democrats would be maybe Socialdemokrater, maybe even Centerpartiet.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not that...
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no, my question is there an other side of the right wing that can also be in the manosphere?
With the left, I would more say that the misandry is more like relevant to the left side.
Okay.
And not the misogynists of incels.
So the left side is team woman.
I would say so for the most part.
Yeah.
I'd say there are still like structural parts of the, like just in general society that are still actively against women, whether they know it or not, but it still is against women. So I would say they're more vocal about being for women, but maybe not...
Action.
Yeah. Yeah, less action, more words.
Because I will say, in the documentary, while I watch it together, there is a type of man in the manosphere, but I don't know if that is necessarily politically related. I couldn't figure that out because I don't care about politics that much. But
like to answer your question more structurally, left wing, on average, tends to be a bit more or very much more feminist. in the like more intersectional type of way, meaning that people are a bit more aware of gender roles, toxic masculinity, and so on and so forth. And the majority of the platform of Manosphere relies on like toxic masculinity and like traditional values and so on that we've been discussing over here for a long time, that we kind of understand that that's outdated and oppressive and so on. Then there is a flip side that we touched on a little bit, like that people can go overboard in every direction generally. And I've heard, like, this is a very, very nuanced hot take, but when people lean into, okay, everything men is bad by default, that excludes a whole bunch of queer men and trans men out of the discourse, for example. And like that's also not particularly helpful to anybody in gender wars in general. So we could go overboard from that direction, but it is very hard to combine Manosphere with left wing because we are like specifically don't go together at all.
I think the left is like actively working against the values of the Manosphere.
Exactly.
So that's why there can't be a counterpart to it.
My question was answered. Thank you. We need a song. So here comes You're Right by Emma Harner. Thank you for joining us again here in the Fountain House, Fontainebleau, with the Manosphere. Moa, the internet and the influence that it has on society in general, in what ways is the internet getting the... Is the internet producing or progressing or promoting the Manosphere to... all of us out there who are swiping and dooming and glooming and, you know, I mean.
Well, I mean, research has shown specifically, because you asked for it, from City St. George, which is a London university. They did some extensive research, and it showed that the YouTube algorithm has a tendency to recommend alt-life. Do you know what that is?
Alternative?
No, alt-life is like the lesser aggressive alt-right. So it's like a segue into the alt-right. It's alt-life.
L-I-T-E. L-I-T-E.
L-I-T-E.
Right, okay. Not L-I-G-H-T. Light. Like a light in the sky. Light.
Yeah, so they have a tendency to recommend channels and videos starting with alt-light and then moving on to alt-right. So it's like a pipeline.
Okay, so it's like sort of world. Like if you played sports, you're on the bench.
Yeah.
Then you're a starter.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Exactly like that.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that has to do with during the pandemic, everyone spent so much time in front of a screen, and so I think that really paved the way for people to end up on the alt-right pipeline without even noticing it.
It just happened.
Yeah, a lot of leftists, from what I could see online, a lot of leftist people started watching alt-right videos and stuff to learn their arguments, to be able to argue back as a learning thing. But then the further into it they got sucked into it. A lot of people talked about how, like, the pace of how fast Charlie Kirk spoke, they could not keep up with it. So they just started agreeing with it because they could not keep up with what he was saying. It just sounded good, so they agreed.
It's interesting stuff. Because the internet, YouTube. Are they the bad guy now? I mean, who's in charge?
The companies who are selling stuff. Because this is my hot take coming in here as well, is that a lot of this is a byproduct or intentional product of like rage bait and stuff like that. So like the way that social media keeps us engaged and stuck on the platforms is that we keep being like, oh, okay, this can't be true or whatever. Let me see the comments. And then you see the comments and people agreeing with me, are people calling this out. And then like 3 hours later, you're like, oh my God. And then the algorithm starts suggesting even more of that. And like we are emotional creatures and we keep getting like reading more of that. And if you're during a pandemic or afterwards, like if you don't go outside very often, you start thinking like, okay, this is how a lot of people think. This must be how a lot of the world is. And like if your entire mindset starts like altering together with it, you just kind of like stuck. But who profits out of it the most is the people whose apps those are. Like we just spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, but there's other topics and genres of life they can be spending their time on the apps.
And they do. This is just one
sure.
of them.
Sure. Yeah, okay. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But I also think with the pandemic, for example, there's a whole generation that missed out on social cues, social context, just hanging out with each other. And I think that's why they're so drawn to people in the manosphere, because they see like a role model and they see something that they want to achieve. So, for example, in England, there's so much discussions in schools because young men are like being drawn into the alt-right and the schools don't know what to do about it. And the referrals to psychiatrists and such has gone up way more after the pandemic than during it, which is very interesting.
Yeah, I'm. This is bad for business. My own opinion. I mean, I consider it as like if you're a big pharma company in China and you're producing fentanyl to pills and you're killing your clientele, you're going to run out of your patients because they're dead. So in the manosphere, how is this good that we are going to give the men through YouTube and the algorithms and the internet and just get them, and no matter what they want and what they're scrolling on, they're going to get that in front of them and then they're going to accept it?
But it's like a self-propelling mechanism. It's like men get more and more toxic, they go around being more and more toxic to women. Women look at that, aha, men are toxic, and they get more defensive and weird about that and treat men weird, and then men go, here's the confirmation bias. Women are the problem. And then it goes in circles.
Bad for business, like I said.
No, good for business, because now both parties believe that the other one is horrible, and the truth that they're being told that the other gender, another gender is the problem, they see proof of that. And they keep buying those courses, those pills, those ideologies, and they keep promoting it and getting more people into it. And then they divide each other even more and see even more proof, because like everyone is being a toddler on testosterone levels of emotional competency.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
Pills. I want the blue pill. I want the blue pill.
I hope you're talking about the Matrix.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, the red pill is the, you know, like what we've been talking about. So we'll come back. We've got another song here. Don't You Know? Jan Hammer Group. Well, that was a lovely song. Don't you agree? Clap your hands. Okay. No one. Oh, we get one. Agree. Okay. Wow, that's surprising. Thank you. We have a guest, impromptu special guest, the Honorable Olaf.
Thank
is
you.
Here
Thank
to,
you very much.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going to shed some light on the algorithm.
No, not necessarily the algorithm, but maybe more that people are so sensible, so easily persuadable that they fall into the trap of the algorithm. I mean, I don't get why someone, what you talk about, someone on the left who was going to go against, find some argument against the right wing, also gets the values themselves just by the algorithms. And I don't get why people are so, isn't isn't that a sign that the person's ideology is a bit thin to begin with, that people don't, that they don't really have those people who are so easily persuadable, that they don't have a stable ideology in the background and just go in flip-flopping if they are so easily just some argument. But because I have been politically where I am in for like 20 years. Sometimes I've changed on some minor topics like nuclear or power or something like that, but not the view on people and equality between people and those. I've never shifted in that, but I don't know why some people do that.
I mean, you are correct to some extent. I feel like that you know, you need some sort of a strong core to not get super affected. But the simple answer to that is that, as far as we know, scientifically speaking, what humans tend to see as truth is the information they're exposed to most often. So if you see the same piece of information or somebody claiming something enough times over and over, you start believing it to be true, like, regardless of your better judgment. That's just how human psyche works.
And I can see that in some question when it comes to crime, what's the best age to stop a crime, to get a penalty for that type of question. But those questions, are we gonna have minor or more public sector, or how are we gonna have more do immigrants and citizens have the same rights, or do some have to get more rights than others? And how can the environment, you have to protect the environment, and that's a hoax, everything, how you can shift so long. And sometimes I don't think the Sweden Democrats should ever enter the government. I welcome the Sweden government to take part of the government. I don't see how you can shift that much.
I think we both have an answer. My first answer to that is that most people who are consuming the Manosphere content are like 13 years old.
Yeah.
So like comparing them to a grown adult with education and life experience is also a bit unfair. And secondly, there's, I don't remember what it's called, the phenomenon, but it's basically if you believe in one conspiracy theory, you're more likely to believe all of them.
Yeah.
So like if you already have the mindset of like, you know, I'm being lied to, there's some sort of conspiracy and unfairness in the world, you're more likely to consume more of it. But that's just my understanding. It looked like you also had opinions.
Well, I just think people are easily convinced when there's a good speaker. I mean, we've seen it throughout history. Not to make an extreme example, but Adolf Hitler was a really good public speaker, and he could convince almost everyone in
Germany.
Well, God
with his law,
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's a huge part of it, the way they speak and how they speak about it, because you can make anything look pretty just using the right words.
Yeah, but if I get you the right way, you mean that those people are mostly very young who get easily persuaded by the internet.
Not all the time, but in the Manosphere specifically, I feel like the teenage boys are the main targeted audience.
Yeah.
I feel like, but as we were discussing before as well, like the most common type of person to end up in a cult, for example, is an idealistic and open person. And it's not necessarily because they don't have any strong values, it's because they're so open to changing their mind, which like in some ways is great, but when it's extreme, it's bad. And there's like, when you're bombarded with everything on the internet, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I can see how that also happens. Like if somebody is very convincing and you're very open to learning, you might learn the wrong thing, I suppose.
I don't know what else to say. I think we have a quite good conversation. And
thank you. Can I jump in very quickly? This one, because we have mentioned illiteracy levels as well, and I feel like that's also part of the conversation, that how stuff happens is that people are not source critical and they can't really read and discern information as well. So that's, I think it's a part of it.
It's time for another song. Thank you, Olaf. Willkommen tilbake til Loom Fountainhouse Fountain Boo Boo podcast. That was a song by somebody, sorry. It'll be on when it's edited. Anyway, the manosphere and capitalism. So for me personally, I've never understood money. I'll just gloss over that. I've was taught you can bring more flies with honey than with vinegar. So inside this world, if you've seen the documentary, they're selling protein powders, they're selling whatever, t-shirts and shorts, and they're selling anything and everything they can to these young men who have no money, I think. They're selling subscriptions. I know Angie Tate has a $50, $100, and $150, I think, a month subscription to get contact with him, email or phone call or support of some kind, and they're in my opinion, they're stealing money. But the capitalism behind the manosphere and selling the ideology of you know, with these pickup artists, you can go out into the world at any woman at any time and just inside her head, if she's married, whatever the deal is. Is, yeah, it's toxic and it's evil and it's nasty and it's wrong. I mean, I can understand you are lonely and you want to have some companionship with you. You don't need this stuff. The problem is the money. And I do think that, like, the quick solution is get rid of money. But then again, I'll gloss over that. How do you do that? I don't personally get how giving another man money is going to then get me a woman. Unless that man is a pimp. So
that is a very good point. And that's why it's...
I mean, are they pimps? Internet pimps?
They are MLM people, like multi-level marketing.
Multi-level marketing for sure.
Because even with the... I'll be very quick. Even with the pickup artists and stuff, the success rate there is really, really, really low. So the results is not really what they're selling. They're selling the... some kind of membership in a club and whatever, and then you are supposed to sign up even more people, and then that the literal dictionary definition of an MLM.
And your confidence level is supposed to increase. Your notches on the belt are supposed to increase. Right? I mean,
to be fair, the less empathy you have, the more like arrogant you come off. So probably it does help with confidence. It's just like the line between confidence and being a sociopath is
confident and cocky. Very different lines there. Yeah. I don't know. Mo, do you have anything to add?
Well, I just think they're like selling a dream of some sort. It's similar to a cult, but with more money involved, I would say. It reminds me of the Scientology Church in a way, because they also sell self-help courses and books and everything.
Going clear.
Yeah.
For $150,000 a month.
Exactly. And I think that's their selling point. And I think people are so into it because there haven't been a thing like that in pop culture media before.
Mm. We are in new times, new territories every passing day. Who knows what the world will look like at Christmas is going to look completely different. I have a question just came to me. Is there a female manosphere being sold to you out there? Is there, you know, buy my subscription and learn how to talk to a man, learn how to present yourself better?
Actually, we kept being like, no, but yeah, for sure. There is like the, first of all, a lot of tread wifing stuff is the call is coming from the house, you know, from our own house. And then there's the whole clean girl and and whatever you have. Like, there's a lot of tutorials being like.
So there's a. Are you tired of not having a man in your life? Hey, girl, do you want a man to give you a belly, a bun in the belly?
Yeah, like
a baby in the butt, whatever.
How to attract a
high value
man.
I'm not a salesman.
Yeah, and like sometimes to give them slight credit, a lot of those women are at least mentioning that it's manipulation techniques, like at least from what I've seen, they're like, okay, this is actual manipulation, but here's how you do the love bombing and so on and so on. But not everyone, but there's definitely content.
So there's definitely women out there that are But are they saying though the same as what these Andrew Tate and these what was his name Hamilton Tiki-taki. Are they saying, you know, fuck women? Are they saying fuck men and pay me money and then you can get the man?
Well, my algorithm says that. My algorithm is very anti men, and I'm not complaining. It's rather fun. But I think it also adds to this whole incel culture, because we women are so anti-men, and like the ick, red flags, you know, all of that. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, but there's no such thing as a female incel, is there?
Yep, there is.
Yeah, there are.
There's involuntary... Yeah.
Fem cells, they're called.
No way.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow, fem cells.
And like, if you heard of like the whole pick me girls and whatever, it's also a whole thing. And like
pick me girls.
Yeah, the ones who are like, I'm not like other girls, so that the boy would like them. But you see, the line between internalized misogyny and valid criticism is very blur there. But what I was going to say, like, your algorithm is a lot of like man-hating, mine is just puppies. But if you do research like stuff that's targeted towards women, but from the manosphere-ish perspective, like... There's also women hating on other women, like patriarchy and misogyny affects everybody. Women can be just as misogynistic as anyone else. That's the whole thing. But
well, yeah. There's men that pick on men. I mean, I don't necessarily pick on them on purpose. I wouldn't go and start a fight. But if I recognize this behavior, for instance, my 17-year-old son, we were watching Million Dollar Baby. And he was laughing when they were getting their faces blown open and stuff. I said, what is funny about that? And then we put on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And the very end scene is our heroes, Leo and the other guy, Brad Pitt, right? Blowtorching and beating the crap out of a woman and a man. And yes, I laughed. And my son's going, well, why can we laugh at this one, but we can't laugh at that one? So then I had to have this conversation about Quentin Tarantino's violence towards women in his movies versus Million Dollar Baby being a boxer in real life. And it was a tough conversation. Oops.
But that's like you like discussing real issues. And like if you see problematic behaviors, for example, you calling out other men, it's like, yeah, you should be doing that. What we are talking about, like when they say like women hating on women, it's more like being like, okay, this is how you attract a man. And those other women, they're all evil and competing for attention, and then you shouldn't trust anybody, and female friendships don't exist, they're all snakes and so on. That is actual hatred. You're not calling out problematic behavior, you're doing the opposite.
Well, yeah, well, the problematic behavior was the laughter towards violence of women, and, you know, sure, it's two movies, and they're fictitious. I was trying to get him to, you know, there's a difference between Tarantino violence in films, because it is... not just fictitious, but it is so like over the top, like this is a bologna sandwich, so it's kind of funny, versus like if I saw a man do that to a woman, of course I'm going to get in the middle. If you two started boxing each other, I'd be like, well, I mean, I should get in there, but it's woman versus woman, so it's very hard to like with my 17-year-old, like, why are you laughing at this? Like, would you you know, I don't know.
Maybe it's kind of similar to why a lot of the men-hating content is funny, is because it's all like baloney sandwiches.
But on that note, what I wanted to add on the algorithm, even though my algorithm is very fuck men, they're useless, blah, blah, I still get tradwife content on my For You page, for example, which is very weird because it's two ends of a spectrum. The left-leaning, man-hating, misandry type of content, and then... from time to time, I get a trad wife trying to teach me how to do a sourdough loaf with 8 kids on her hip.
Lesbian cottage core. Hey, yay!
What if it's a great sourdough loaf, though?
Maybe it is, but yeah. I don't want to I don't want to watch that content. Oh,
because she's a trad wife?
Yeah, because I know her values and what she comes from and yeah. all that. I don't want to make her any more money than she has.
It's weird. I taught my algorithm well, but I also like have very strict settings and everything. Like I don't get weird content personally.
My algorithm is you. I ask you questions about it, and you tell me.
And you screw up my algorithm every day. He sends me some weird racist jokes or whatever. Being like,
something like that.
Is
yeah.
this funny or problematic? And then I have to watch it and explain it to him. And my algorithm, my poor algorithm.
Yeah. Or a funny song.
Dirty old town. Dirty old town.
Nice. What a song. Manosphere. And now we're moving on to gender roles. Is this a good example? Teenage boy A goes out with teenage girl A and asks her out, and she says no, and he then says all women are scum, and boom, turns into a manosphere? Or is that way harsh? Is there more steps in there? And vice versa with the woman. Is there teenage girl A who's going out with teenage boy A, and he says, I dump you, I don't want you, and then all men are scum. And then they grow up, and they get into these algorithms and these patterns and these same circles, and then what? How the men in the manosphere still want to be with a woman, right?
Or do they?
Well, are they homosexual?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But that's
good question.
That's the thing we discussed before, like both with pickup artists and the manosphere and incels and so on. Like when you hear how they talk about relationships and even like sex and so on, it feels like they're disgusted by the whole idea altogether. So it's like, why do they even want this? And it's like the status and power.
Well, I see your points, and I read an interesting article about this. This researcher called Richard Reeves, and he talks about why or how they end up in the manosphere. And he says one of the main points of why young men flock to people like Andrew Tate and Donald Trump and all of those men is because it's not because they hate women deep down. It's because society is not dealing with the issues that young men have today. For example, young men are killing themselves at a really high rate. The older generation has gone down and the younger generation has gone up. It's 4 times more than women, men a year that kill themselves. And also low education and what was it more? It was... was something about the pay not being raised enough, or like, yeah.
There are a lot of real life, real problems with everyone. It's not just that men can't buy a house or women can't buy a car. It's that we can't buy educations and we can't get groceries. But that I think it's a weak excuse for the manosphere to say, women are the problem. What are the roles in this? What are the...
Well, I mean...
The gender roles. What is the woman supposed to do? What is the man supposed to do?
Well, he mentioned in his article, he mentioned a big part of this was also... Because women's economic liberation wasn't that long ago, if you really think about it. It feels like a long time ago, but it really wasn't. And since then, the role of men being providers has kind of diminished because they don't need to be providers anymore. And so now... There's a hole in that role, and they haven't figured out how to fill that role. And so they do stuff like the manosphere instead of trying to fix the hole, but not really fixing the hole, just being upset about the hole not being there instead of trying to find a solution for it. He mentioned that as like a big thing, that women are more economically free now. And the men doesn't have to provide, so he doesn't know what to do. And I get the confusion, but I feel like we should find a better way to solve it instead of just hating on women.
Can I jump in from the opposite direction?
I agree.
The opposite direction-ish for that, in my opinion, is that, especially since we watched in the documentaries a lot more like millennial men, and we as millennials know, okay, so we cannot really buy houses anymore, we cannot buy cars, our education, like we've been told, like get an education, you will get a job. That's not true, and we're replaceable in the jobs. And why it's slightly the opposite is like, and it's not just that the men don't have to be the providers, I think it's the opposite, is that now everyone has to be the provider to afford anything. Mm. So men are not only competing just with other men are competing with other women and so on for the same amount of resources and so on. And it's all very, very confusing. And that's why I think it's like gender roles, it's like one of those things that they cling on to, is like, okay, this is, everything's changing. There's the pandemic, there's all the rules have suddenly shifted and changed. There's at least something should be like inherently biologically stable of some sort. There must be the truth somewhere, and they're like holding on for dear life onto that. And the part of it is just because everything sucks. Everything's really scary. We can't afford anything. And then whoever chimes in to offer some kind of like, because, you know, people like in power and so on can't say like we are the problem, capitalism is the problem, patriarchy is the problem, electing rapists as president is the problem, they'd be like no, you should actually be more like us and fight amongst yourselves so that you're distracted enough and buy our courses and actually sign up 5 of your buddies for those courses instead of like this. Just yeah,
it's become much more of a dog eat dog world, I feel like, and the view on the world has been, it's become so dark and sinister and like melancholic in a way. Like there's no hope for people to be better, so they should just be the worst they can be.
Which is actually the best in this world. It is dog eat dog. It is everybody against everybody. It's been that way for a long time, and it's sad. It's very sad. I think at the end of the day, though, my own take on gender roles is communication. If you want to wear the pants, and I am a straight male, if you want to wear the pants, please do. I would love to stay at home all day while you go to work, and I can sit there and watch Oprah Winfrey on reruns and Ellen DeGeneres show and blah, 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 and fix the house and get everything done. And when you get home, there's a ham sandwich for you. No problem. But you don't exist, do you?
we do exist.
I just can't find her.
But also, like, I feel it stems deep down from, like, this, what is my value? What is another person's value? And the very quick segue here among other like capitalism things is things like Tinder and whatnot, that we've gotten so used to being like, okay, nothing is meaningful anymore, we cannot show our value with the things that we've learned are valuable, so then we should hold on to these very specific superficial things that like swiping here and there. And like, you know, it's easy to say for someone who has some sort of base sort of value of self, being like, I don't mind, this doesn't threaten my masculinity, this doesn't threaten my personhood if someone else takes the task. But when you already think that I'm a waste of space, you are a waste of space, everyone is a waste of space, why should you get anything good for your life if I'm not getting, if we're equally waste of space? You need to create some kind of ideology around it, justifying your anger. And the problem with that is that with a lot of those things, there is a core of truth to it. That's how people get sucked into things. It's always like the core problem is there. But then like how people get radicalized is that they get bonkers over solutions.
It's amazing you don't have a huge multi-hundred million following on the internet with all your knowledge and wisdom.
I'm too sane. Thank you. I wish I could scam people, but I can't.
You totally could.
That's the problem.
Let's end it on that, yeah? Scamming people. In the Manosphere way.
Fuck empathy. Let's scam people.
Thank you for listening and joining.